The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Newstalk's technology correspondent, Jess Kelly, hello.
Hey, Jono, how are you?
I'm very well. Now, you've done this to me before, and it has never ended well for me. But you're going to talk about screen time, aren't you?
We are going to talk about screen time, and not only the fact that we're all using screens, because I'm sure if you, as I'm talking, go into your settings and you go into your screen time and you tell me how many hours of the day you spend on your phone, you'll probably have a mini panic. But we've also got some really interesting insight from Ofcom in the UK about where adults are spending time on their phones. So it's not enough that we just have the phone out, because as I'm talking to you now, my phone is in my eyeline and will be in my paw, I'm sure, when you start talking in a second. But this research now shows that adults now spend an average of 4.5 hours online a day, which is up by 10 minutes on last year. Now, that to me, like, if my screen time was 4.5 hours a day, I'd be pretty happy. Do you have any indication of what yours is, Jonathan?
You see, I now am slightly concerned by the amount of screen time that it tells me every Monday that I've had in my screen. But I've also, I think I've worked out why it's so bad. If I'm using Google Maps, which yes, I do on a regular basis, that's included in my screen time. Even if I'm using Google Maps in my car, which is obviously not me looking at the screen, it's me looking at the road. So I'm feeling better about myself now.
Yeah, you're allowed to feel better. And what's interesting is Google Maps is actually one of the three most commonly used apps amongst adults. That's alongside WhatsApp and, lol, Facebook. Facebook is still quite popular, apparently, according to this report. Around half of us are spending, around half of all time spent online is with either Alphabet, which is Google, or Meta-owned services, which is a huge amount of time. And we've spoken, Jonathan, in the past about the monopoly investigations and hearings that take place in the US around the power that just a few big tech companies have. And I think that really is an example of it. So aside from Google Maps, we also have YouTube, which is used by 94% of adults. And YouTube time is increasing. So it's around 51 minutes a day. So that's...
I'm calling shenanigans on that. There's no way that 94% of adults are looking at YouTube every day. I mean, what are you trying to tell me, that the 85-year-olds are looking at YouTube?
Yes, and I see your text here now, just checking to see if you check your phone during the pre-record.
You failed my test. It was a very simple test. I sent her a text message saying she'll either look at that now and prove me right, or ignore it and prove me wrong. And guess what happened?
You're always right, John. But you know what's really interesting?
Anyway, back to my 85-year-olds on YouTube. That couldn't possibly be right.
No, well, so of all the subscriptions that I pay for, and I recently did my, because I'm a Square, went through and added up how much I'm spending on streaming services and all the rest, and I let go of some of them. So I let go of Amazon Prime, I let go of Apple TV, I still have Disney because other people in the house like to watch that, still have Netflix because that's part of my Sky bundle. But the one I would never let go of is YouTube Premium. I pay 13 quid a month for YouTube Premium. I watch more.
That's the one I refuse to pay for, purely
Why?
Because my kids watch it, but I don't. So I'm fecked if I'm watching that, paying $13.99 a month so that they can watch things ad-free. I mean, call me Scrooge at Christmas, but I'm not paying for it.
You see, I would watch more YouTube than I would traditional TV. And so I've just recently renewed my TV license. I then have a traditional TV bundle. And yet the service that I watch most is YouTube. So me paying 13 quid a month or whatever it is to have ad-free versions is phenomenal. Like, I would watch a lot of John Oliver, I watch a lot of Jimmy Kimmel, love a good conspiracy documentary, there's some fantastic ones there. And
but can I watch them on the telly like the normal person?
Well, no, I like being able to just do it on the YouTubes. And it's great because I can start something on my phone when I'm on the Lewis home, if the Lewis is running, and then get in and then continue to watch the same thing on the TV. I just, for me, it is my go-to source of entertainment. I'd put in music playlists and whatever, and would stream music through YouTube and just have that running through the telly as well. So for me, that time spent on YouTube, according to these stats from Ofcom, it's actually quite low. I would imagine up there with Instagram, it's probably my most used app.
The other thing that comes out of this Ofcom survey is young people and when they are looking at screens. And parents will be somewhat unsurprised to find that the little Timmy and little Mary are indeed on their phones if you let them have them in the room, and they could be on their phones in the middle of the night.
Yeah, this is something that is quite concerning, but I would say it's not necessarily surprising, particularly for us here on News Talk, because we've covered it a lot most recently on our Behind the Screen special, which looks at parenting in the digital age. But this Ofcom research shows that children aged between 8 and 14 spend almost 3 hours a day online. That increases to 4 hours for 13 to 14 year olds and about 2 hours for 8 to 9 year olds. Now, that's only counting smartphones, tablets, laptops, and computers, not games consoles. But that is huge.
Not Google Maps.
Not Google Maps. Now, I don't know how much they're using the Google Maps, but I suppose, and you raise a really important point there, and that is around where the kids are using the devices. We've covered this, as I said, quite a lot. One of the biggest concerns is in relation to children having devices in their bedrooms. So if Santa is bringing a games console to the house, or a tablet or a phone, I sound like a broken record, but it's always so important to have parameters put in place. So the games console should live in the family living room or on the family TV, essentially, not on a TV in the kids' bedroom. Phones shouldn't be brought into the bedroom. You should have parameters that will, you know, knock off access to certain apps at certain times. It's all about those healthy habits.
The other thing that kind of alarmed me was the amount of money that young people are spending as well. And the fascinating thing is, A, how are they getting the money for this if they're under the age of 10 in particular? And it's what they're spending it on.
It's really concerning. So around 58% of kids aged between 8 and 17 said they spent money online in the past month. And that can be, like, when you think of us spending money online, like, I've done a bit of Christmas shopping online and all the rest. This is for social media, for video sharing platforms, or gaming.
Loot boxes.
Loot boxes.
Cursed things.
Now, this is concerning on a few different fronts. And any parent, you know, if your kids have a Revolut Junior card, or if maybe they're using your card, and you see all these $2.99, $3.99, $5.99s, you might think, oh, sure, look, they're happy for half an hour or whatever it might be. But the reality is that all, firstly, adds up. Secondly, the kids don't think about it, because very often it's a case of face ID or fingerprint verification and off you go. You're not having to put the card details in every single time. But also, some experts that I've spoken to in recent years have made the comparison, or they've sort of made the observation that this type of interaction is a gateway for gambling, because it's the instant gratification. If you lose the money, sure, it doesn't impact you because you're playing on your bed or you're playing on the couch or whatever it is, but it can lead to bigger consequences. And that is a real concern for sure.
Yeah, no, it's a conditioning. I've worked out there is a subscription coming out of my bank account that I found recently for a certain online gaming platform. But one of my children cannot remember what email login is needed for that particular account. So therefore, it is going to be there in perpetuity.
Get onto the bank. No. We'll
but is it direct? Can the bank stop
it? Yes. Yes, Queen. Yes. Get onto the bank and get them to block it.
Probably ring in the bank in the morning. Your top tech tip, please, Jess.
Yeah, so I have started to do my reviews of the year just for myself. I wouldn't bore anyone with it. But I was looking back on some of my favourite books of the year. And the way I do that is because I use Goodreads, which is a free app. Yeah, you can pair it to your Kindle, but you can also use it if you're reading physical books too. But if you're not on it, I would get on it. It's a really good way to mark books that you want to read. Also mark books that you've read. You can rate them, you can share them with your friends. So, you know, like if someone's going on a holidays and they say, oh, have you got any book recommendations? Rather than having to think and use your brain, you can just go to the app, share your Goodreads, and then people can see what you liked, what you didn't like, what you read. And also what I like is that every January it prompts you to set a reading challenge for yourself, which again sounds so dorky. But as someone who kind of struggles to read unless I'm intentional about it, it's a nice way. You can see how many books you've read in a year, how you're progressing and all the rest. So I'd highly recommend.
Okay, and your tech rec?
This is a cute gift idea for the kids in your life. So if, like me, you've got 9,000 nieces and nephews and you're looking for a STEM-inspired physical book, I would highly recommend See Inside How Things Work by Conrad Mason. I bought this for my nephew last year, and it is a beautiful book that it kind of has like little pop-up things, but it's not a baby book. It's kind of aged at kids, I'd say between 7 and 11. And you can lift the flaps and see things like how cranes work, how taps work, how trains work. And if you've got somebody in your life who is intrigued by STEM, science, all things in that field, it is a beautifully illustrated, gorgeous big book that I would highly recommend as a gift idea.
Well, I have to say, you've made a pop-up book sound very interesting there, because it is better than your average boo, says the ghost, by the sounds of it. Jess Kelly, News Talk's technology correspondent. Absolute pleasure as always. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jono.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.